Okay, and we are being recorded. Welcome everyone to the LHON Live September call. Time flies when you're having fun. I can't believe it's already September. Thank you so much for joining us for this month's call. We're really excited and hope everyone had a wonderful long holiday weekend. Just a quick reminder, some housekeeping. If you are not speaking, and especially while someone's asking a question or guest speakers talking, if you don't mind muting, star six. But if not, if we do get a lot of background noise, I will mute everyone. And then once we open up for questions, I'll unmute everyone so anyone can ask any questions that they'd like. Just some quick housekeeping. We are just here to support each other in any way possible that we can. But anything with clinical trials or anything medical, we're not the professionals, so we leave that to them. So please leave any of those clinical trial questions or anything like that to doctors, study coordinators, and medical professionals. So we try to refrain from all that. Any sort of financial advice or anything else like that, we try to hold back from as well. But anything else, we are here. Please ask any other questions. We're happy to help each other and anything that we can do. So we have a totally fun spin onto the LHON Live call this month. I actually met Chelsea at the conference that I talked about last month, Level Up Conference, that's with high school kids in Wichita, Kansas. So Chelsea is actually located in Houston, and I don't know if we have any LHON friends on here from the Texas area at the moment. There's definitely some in Texas. So Chelsea has this fantastic mission. So she's super sweet and really helps people with all different disabilities, abilities, to help them get ready, whether they're getting ready for maybe high school, they're getting ready for a college or maybe it's an interview. She works with them based on what disability that they have and accommodates, whether it's being super descriptive with audio cues, or I saw a super cool video of her actually teaching someone with her feet because she had no hands on how to apply makeup and what to do. So it's really cool. She has this awesome gift that she can tweak to whatever is needed and teach us some cool techniques. So this is totally awesome, testing out Chelsea's skill. It's normally done, we do FaceTime or things like that. So she was just going to kind of teach us some tips and tricks. Maybe it would be how to tie a tie non-visually for anyone jumping out into the workforce or maybe heading to a wedding. Or also then kind of maybe some basic makeup techniques and just personal grooming. I feel like that sometimes is the hardest thing. Just losing vision is trying to how to get your groove back and how to still look have your A game and what to do. So Chelsea, without further ado, thank you so much for being part of our call, and we're excited to soak up everything you have to teach us tonight.
Thank you so much for inviting me to the show, to the call, Jessica, and thank you for that really sweet and wonderful introduction. I hope I can live up to it. And I don't know if I can teach everything in 30 minutes in this call, but I'll definitely do my best to answer as many questions as I can. So you basically introduced exactly, who I am. I am a, image consultant. My formal background is really in a cosmetologist, makeup artist and hairstylist, and I still do work behind the chair, but I sold my salon and spa that I had for 15 years about 3 years ago so that I can put all of my energy and all of my heart into really developing my consulting and image consulting business to teach non-visual adaptive techniques across the country. So since I've never been on the show, should I open up the floor to questions right now, or should I just keep on talking about myself, or what do you suggest, Jessica?
Yeah, we could definitely get, I would say maybe kind of go through some basics. Like if you met someone that was guy or girl, blind and visually impaired. So I would say the range of LHON vision is similar to kind of what you saw with my vision, to maybe a little bit better, maybe a little bit worse. We all kind of fluctuate in between. I might be like the middle.
Jessica, this is Andy. Chelsea, Hey, if you don't mind just going over kind of what your most common questions you get are and what the answers to those are, I think that's an awesome place to start.
Okay. I can definitely do that. So some of the most common questions that I get are kind of like, what are the, you know, the trainings that I do? Like, what kind of services I provide? And so like Jessica said earlier, I do adapt my trainings to individuals depending on whether that's low vision, no vision, or whether that could be amputees or with different disabilities. If somebody has limited range in their mobility, let's just say, they have, can't really move their fingers and don't have very good fine motor skills due to, whatever reasons, then I can kind of adapt to that. So I work with individuals to learn really how to do their hair, how to do their makeup.
Chelsea?
Did you maybe accidentally mute her? I'm not sure.
I don't think so. I'm like, we lost her. No. Chelsea?
If we don't hear her in a minute, I might recommend you unmute everyone just to see, but I don't want that.
I hear a dog barking.
Yeah, me
too. That's Russell Wilson. I'm sorry. I can't figure out how to mute my phone. Russell Wilson is being a bad dog.
Oh, I thought that was Chelsea.
No, is that's Chelsea? Russell Wilson.
Perfect. Well, I love a good Russell Wilson.
This is Martina. Live near Seattle. I got Russell Wilson. He's our quarterback. You know, I can't help it.
I'm following. Oh, all right. A quick message. But, yeah, maybe
we mute can, me. You know. I can't figure out how to do it. I'm sitting in the sun, and I can't see.
Hello.
Okay, hold on.
Sorry. Can y'all all hear me now? Hello?
Yes, we can hear you.
I got disconnected, so I don't know if y'all knew that or not, but
we missed you. Hey, really quick, Martina, is your number start with 503?
Yes.
Okay, I'm gonna mute you.
Mute me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Oh, no, okay, it's perfect. Okay.
All right, Chelsea. Yeah, well, and we're back.
Yeah. So, yeah, where I left off was that I'm always looking for tools that I can use in adaptive ways and creative and innovative new ways so that it's more accessible. And one of the things that I love and I use all the time is a beeping curling iron. It's not necessarily made for individuals who are blind or visually impaired, but I recently did a training with Jessica on FaceTime where I taught her how to use that for the first time, and Jessica just loved it, had a great time. It was pretty easy to use, and so things like that. Other things are like very low-tech or no-tech. I believe that there's a lot of, creative ways to do things without vision and to make it very adaptive, regardless. And so having that, that's just one of the things that I just love to do because I believe that anybody can be empowered to do anything that they desire to do as long as we're willing to be creative and think outside of the box and be patient with ourselves, be patient, with those that we're working with to learn these new techniques. And I guess that's my, little superpower is that I'm patient, and I like thinking for new ways to do things. That's kind of like how the training came about and the need to learn how to do this. And let's see, so makeup techniques, hairstyling, soft skills like how to speak and present in front of an audience. Public speaking can be one of the scariest things that we do in life in general for a lot of people. And a lot of the ways that we carry ourselves, and whether it's body language, our tone of voice, and things like that, is very important when you're trying to make a great first impression. And so when I talk with my clients or my students about, you know, our image, the body language and the tone of voice and all of these nonverbal cues that we give off are kind of go hand in hand with making those impressions on people. And something that I also find when it comes to the blind community is for some people that I know, because they lost their vision early in life or maybe never had vision, they don't really realize that some of the things they do with their body language is not giving off a good impression. You know, for example, I'll give an example, like some conferences that I've been to where an individual may be blind or visually impaired, a presenter may be speaking in the front of the room, but then because they don't feel like they need to be looking at a PowerPoint presentation or seeing the presenter, their body may be faced in an opposite direction from the public speaker. So everybody else in the room is looking forward at the speaker, but the person who's blind or visually impaired doesn't even realize that their body language is putting off the vibe that they're not listening, they're not paying attention because they're faced away from the presenter. And maybe nobody's ever told them that or shared that with them, and so they don't realize that, and that's not to any fault of their own per se, but that's kind of like something that I kind of work with people on is, you know, things like little things like that can make a big difference, you know, and really, you know, with the youth groups that I teach and work with, it's not necessarily more advanced things. It may be more of the fundamentals of, you know, basic grooming and hygiene for, you know, middle schoolers or elementary school blind or visually impaired students or individuals. And it's starting it from when they're at a young age, and it leads to better grooming and hygiene habits and learning how to put your makeup when you're a teenager and a young female and a working woman versus, and a, you know, learning how to shave when you're an adult versus like when you're a child, just, you know, a blind child that maybe their parents don't know how to, you know, teach them these things because, number one, this may be their first blind or visually impaired child they ever had. And then secondly, you know, the school or the, you know, training program or vocational rehab area may not have a person who specializes in those things. Other things that I do in my trainings is use assistive technology. I mean, you know, for those of you who are very tech savvy, you know that, gosh, there's so many amazing apps and wonderful things out there. So I used to be a, vice president of a assistive technology group here in Texas, in Houston. And we did a lot of trainings on adaptive, accessible technology and things like that. And so from what I've learned there, I've incorporated into my trainings, such as, you know, color identifiers to help distinguish color of clothing to make sure your socks match or your shirt or your clothes match, or using things like Be My Eyes whenever I'm not around, so that people can, you know, get another volunteer to kind of help them see if their nail polish is put on correctly or something like that. So, you know, it's a combination of no tech, low tech, all the way to super high tech with, you know, assistive technology and things like that, that I really try to use all of these tools at our disposal to empower, you know, my clients, and whether that they have a disability or they don't, because I work with the general public just as much as I work with my blind, visually impaired or disabled clients. Everybody wants to look and feel their best. Doesn't matter who you are or what you are. And, you know, and I feel that it's really important to just empower anybody who wants to learn that, you know, and more power to you if you even don't want to. So I don't ever you know, impose it on anybody or say, oh my gosh, you know, you have to learn how to do this or that. No, it's purely a choice. And I just offer people those choices. And let me see, what other common questions do I get? I teach people of all ages.
I think that's it, right?
Yeah.
I love all the background. And maybe you could share some specifics. Like, I think you had mentioned just some like low tech stuff that you use, but you had mentioned one thing with the color app. We actually,
when
friends here on the line, we actually see that bright blue the best. But we do, some of us do have trouble with colors. And often we talk about color coordinating and how we arrange our closets, guys, girls, whatever. So what, have you found a color app that actually works?
Yeah. So again, color apps are kind of tricky. The one that I see that pretty works decently well, what is that one? Is it Tap C?
Tap C? Okay.
Tap C is decent. I think there's even newer ones that are out there. So I'm not kind of like on the cutting edge of it. There is Aira. For those of you who have used Aira or have an Aira account, Aira, people from Aira, the tech people on that line, cannot give you an opinion. They cannot say, oh, that red shirt looks great on you, because they are not allowed to give opinions. But they can say that's light blue, dark blue, red, you know, red, yellow, green. And because they're sighted, and depending on the lighting that you're showing them, they're great at telling, you know, that kind of stuff. Because it's a human person versus a computer-generated something. You know what I mean? If that helps and makes sense.
What if we jump to your expertise? Let's jump to hair, personal grooming, or jump to maybe teach us a tie. What, and just kind of that aspect, what do you use? Let's start with guys first. What personal grooming tips and like safety, clean shaven tips do you have that you could share with the guys? And then we'll jump to the girls and kind of go back and forth.
Okay, that sounds great. So for the guys, I'm going to be honest. I don't have like a favorite product or tool. I mean, not favorite product line. Because I have clients of different, you know, they have different taste when it comes to expensive things or, you know, on a lower budget or a high budget. A lot of my clients who are on fixed incomes or receiving services through the state usually are lower income. And so that's where I'll go with brands from like Walmart and things like that. It's not so much about the actual product that you're using. It's more about the technique and how you're using it. So,
I'll
jump in here. Jessica, I'll jump in. You want to start with guys here? I'll kind of talk through my day and my grooming stuff, Chelsea, if you don't mind. And you can kind of give me tips on any or all of the above, just because I'm curious what kind of things you know from your experience that may be foreign to me or news to anyone else. So I will talk through my probably more vain, longer getting ready than most of the other guys on the call process that I go through most mornings. So, I mean, I do everything from getting up, brushing my teeth. I hop in the shower, do an entire shower there, get out, blow dry my hair. I put in product in my hair. If I need to, I'll shave my neck in the shower. And I do kind of shave my mustache by feel, or trim my mustache. That's completely done by feeling it. And I shave my neck completely, again, by muscle memory and by feeling it as well in the shower. I don't utilize any kind of mirror or anything in the shower like that. Mm-hmm. And then after I put product in my hair, I will moisturize my face, floss, not as often as I should. What else do I necessarily do? I'll, like, brush my hair and stuff like that before the other things I told you. But those are most of the things I'm doing other than, like, mouthwash, which vision is less needed for that. Anything that I kind of went over there that you have specific tips for someone who has low vision that you'd like to share?
Yeah. So, you know, over the years, there's a lot of funny things that I pick up along the way. But let's just start with something very basic. So some people with low vision or no vision have kind of said to me, well, you know, sometimes just getting the toothpaste on the toothbrush can be a challenge. And so, you know, you're like, whether you can see it or you can't, sometimes aligning it straight on top of the toothbrush can be a challenge. And so for one, you can do it by feel, right? You can just feel for the bristles and then make sure your toothpaste can align with that and then just squeeze. Another easier way is to go ahead and squeeze some toothpaste into your mouth.
Yep.
And then just start brushing your teeth. Like, why do you even have to put it on the brush? So that's
sure.
A funny, you know, funny little trick that maybe some of you do already, some of you don't. Another thing is, for instance, like when you take a shower in the morning, right, you're going to find a lot of bottles of, let's say, shampoo or conditioner. Maybe they're the same exact shape and they're the same exact size. So it's really difficult to tell which one is shampoo and which one is conditioner. And I try, you know, for my blind or visually impaired clients, I try to go with different ones that maybe have a slightly different shape or size, so they'll know easily just by touch and feel which one is shampoo versus conditioner. But if you have a favorite that you just can't really let go of and they're both exactly the same, something that I like to do is using a bump dot, you know, and putting a bump dot on top of, let's say, the conditioner or something, so that you know by feel that that one's the conditioner versus the shampoo, right?
Yeah, I've seen people even put rubber bands on bottles in cases like that.
Yeah, rubber bands, bump dots, those work really well. Then when it comes to, like, getting out of the shower, you know, putting, let's say you have lots of different products and lotions and potions and things like that that you have on your countertop. And oftentimes what I find is organization is key when it comes to low vision or no vision, because and keeping everything consistent. So if at the dollar store, I tell my clients, like, go buy, whether it's Walmart, dollar store, the container store, whatever, you know, just buy these things that have these compartments in them, right? Like the squares and compartments and all that. So when you put your lotions in them, they stand in those squares and cubes and all of that in a certain order. So you know what order you're getting those products from, you know, in order. So let's say, you know, you get out of the shower and the first thing you want to do is put on your lotion. You know, put your lotion first, then second you may put on, you know, toner or blah, 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 blah. You know, whatever it is, just kind of put it in order. And if you put it consistently that way, and, you know, then that helps it be easier. And then secondly, again, putting rubber bands, bump dots. There's even this cool app that I like to use. It's, goodness gracious, I wish I had it written down, but it's a label app. And Digitize. Have y'all ever heard of Digitize? Like D-I-G-I-T and then E-Y.
Is it where you kind of scan a label and you can record a voice or something telling you what it is?
Yes, sir. Exactly. So I don't recommend this for anything in the shower unless you have a waterproof iPhone or something like that or one of those fancier phones. But it's great for putting labels on lotions, potions, clothing. They have washable labels for clothing as well. And so what you do is you buy their kit. It's probably about $150 if you buy it with the labels and all of this other fancy stuff. You don't even have to get the labels. You can just buy the app. The app is like $9.99. And what you do is you can print out your own apps if you want to do it on your computer, or if you buy their apps, then they have barcodes on them. And then you just scan the barcode with the app, and it will be specific to your iPhone. So let's just say you have your favorite cologne or your favorite perfume or your favorite makeup foundation, and it's very specific. So you scan it, then you record and say what the item is, and you can be as descriptive as you want, and then it records it. And then once it records it, anytime you ever scan it again in the future, it will say that same descriptive recording over and over and over again until you decide to erase it and reuse it for something else. So they're totally reusable, and you can reuse them as many times as you want. However, the clothing labels do have like a certain amount of times that they can be put in the washing machine, and then after a while they just don't stick anymore. But, you know, who's to say you can't use a safety pin and kind of stick them on, you know, or hold them on. So, another cool trick about that is the ones that are washable that you put on your clothing, you can actually put those labels on like containers that you put in the dishwasher. And you can, I don't know, maybe it's for food items or things like that, and you want to say that's grandma's secret recipe lasagna or something that you made, you know, on Sunday, right? And you can say that if you want to. And you can say it's, you know, a gluten-free, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, stick it in the, after you're done with it, you know, put it in the fridge and then take it out, you know, use that same container after you put in the dishwasher just for those types of items or whatever. So those are things that I find that's really helpful. And then you can also put on those labels for clothing as you're getting dressed in the morning and saying things like, this shirt or this jacket is burgundy and it goes very well with the khaki pants or, you know, khaki dress, with the, you know, whatever. And so you can make these different distinctions and do so much more than just say, you know, just use an app that says it's just a color. So that's really cool. And it's like a multi-use for getting ready in the morning. Let's see, as for shaving, right? So a lot of times shaving, I love what you said about using touch and feel, because that's really what I teach in my classes too, is using touch and feel, whether that's ladies, whether that's shaving our legs, or for our gentlemen, which are shaving your mustaches and beards and things like that, using touch. And there is a really cool shaver that I'm going to have to try to send Jessica the link to, where I recommend it to my blind clients, because what it does is it's a disposable shaver, but it also has attached to the shaver part lotion, like a shaving lotion that goes on and applies as you shave, if that makes sense. So it kind of eliminates, yeah, like razor burn and a lot of the irritation that can come from a dry shave or just a plain wet shave. And what's so cool about it, you're not fussing around with another tool, another product. You're not, and so it's kind of like a 2-in-1 for my clients who are blind or visually impaired, because it's already attached to the surrounding of the blade of that handheld shaver. Let's see, for my clients who are, you know, like brushing their hair.
There's someone there. Sorry, just back, Jessica. Yeah. There's someone we're hearing a lot of noise from. I don't know if you want to mute them, Jessica, but.
Yes. Got him.
There. Yay.
All right.
Thank you.
You did it. So another thing for those of our ladies who, like me, I'm in my early 40s, so I'm starting to get gray hair. And sometimes I don't always have the time to go into the salon and get my hair touched up and, you know, cover my grays. But, you know, I'm still vain enough to want to color my hair. And so there are combs that that we sell where it already has it's almost like color on it, but it's not in the form of a powder. It's in the form of like a thick, almost like a thick, it's not chalk, but it's almost like a thick wax, a colored thick wax that's around the bristles of the comb. And so when you brush it up against your hair, it actually colors and coats those hair strands right up in the front where it gets really stubborn and gray. and you don't even have to be it. You just do it by touch and by feel, and you buy the comb that's the color of your hair. And so
that's
you can
fine.
Do it yourself. I know, right? And it's not expensive, but it's really, really easy to use. And it's a great, great thing for just a touch up, and you put it in your purse if you want to, you put it in your makeup bag for our gentlemen, you know, for those of you who like to have that salt and pepper, or let's just say you want to put some low lights or highlights in your hair. You just kind of want to add some color in. You just kind of brush it in without having to deal with the messiness of like dealing with color dye spilling all over the place and mixing things and stuff like that. See, what else did you talk about? You said moisturizer, floss, hair. So, you know, another thing about hair is if you're trying to, you know, get more volume in your hair, let's say you're doing your hair in the morning and it's kind of flat, a nice little trick that I like to share with people is instead of I don't know how many of you know about teasing and like back combing, but that's kind of a trick that hairdressers use to kind of add more volume to the hair for those of you who kind of have fine and flat hair. It's like taking the brush and combing your hair backwards and in order to get a lot of volume. But instead of doing that, I actually have my company sells this thing called, it's a powder, a fibrous powder, where you kind of sprinkle it on top of your hair, usually at the crown area. So if you're trying to get more bangs or get more volume, you spread your hair open in half, you sprinkle it in, and then you just kind of blend it in with your fingers. And then you kind of do that all throughout the top of your head in little sections all over your head. And then you'll notice like it disappears because it's a very, very fine powder that actually disappears into the to match the color of the hair. And then it just gives automatic volume. So whether you're a man or a woman, you know, if you want more volume and you want, you know, that look, that's a great tip. And then another tip is, let's just say you're in between going to the gym. Like, let's say you had a full day, you went to work and all that kind of stuff, and then you go to the gym after, you know, work or whatever, but then you're going to meet some friends for dinner. I don't know. You know, let's just say that's the situation. So instead of, if you're a person who doesn't sweat profusely and your hair is pretty clean still, you can actually use dry shampoo, and it will save you some time if you're trying to like quickly get your hair clean without having to wet it and then blow dry it and all that kind of stuff. So dry shampoo for my blind and visually impaired clients, as well as all my clients really, is a great lifesaver, because it's just another convenient way of like quickly cleaning your hair on the go. It keeps it fresh. It dries it out from any like residual, like oily buildup that we kind of get. And then, it just keeps you looking great. Like, you know, so those are tips like that.
I have a quick dry shampoo question. I do think dry shampoo is fantastic. However, when I spray dry shampoo, sometimes the dry shampoo is white. And if I can't tell if I've at least brushed it all the way through because I can't see my head. Being LHON, we have a lot of loss of central vision. So as we're doing our makeup and doing a lot of those things hair-wise, that we kind of miss that. So what recommendations do you have? If dry shampoo is definitely obviously a great product, but then like, what do we do if we can't tell? Is there a dry shampoo that like does less white stuff than others, or like we don't
absolutely
look like
yes, that is such a great question, and it's a problem for a lot of people because there are certain brands that are going to be very white and kind of leave a cakey look and powdery. And so the brands that I really love, maybe I'll have to send this to you, Jessica, so that you can share with everybody on the call, is the Chi for the ladies. If you know, and the men can use it too, but for the men, if you don't mind, you know, having that rose scent in your hair, then you can use our Chi. It's like CHI, which is the brand, and it's called the Rose Hip Dry Shampoo.
So the reason why there's rose hip in there is because roses have a chemical in the roses, an element in the roses, a natural product, where it doesn't, it helps preserve hair color. So if you have hair color and you like using dry shampoo, then this is even better. But it doesn't leave a residue. It's invisible, basically, you put it on. And then another one that I would say is also our Chi Infra dry shampoo. It has more of a universal scent, so men and women can use it, and it doesn't leave any white powder. So I can't say that for like different other brands and stuff like that, but you definitely should get ones that are totally invisible, that you don't even have to worry about whether or not, you know, they're going to show up.
I actually didn't even know there was such thing. Yeah. So that's good. Cause that holds me back because the whole white thing.
Totally. I totally get that. But yeah.
And I know I'd run into the same issues with, I mean, there are other products that have visual residue left, whether it's lotion or sunscreen or all of the above, where there have been times where I've gone out and been told, oh, you need to like rub that in a little more. And so anywhere we can find clear products or dissolving products, those are the right ones to go with.
Yeah, there are definitely, and for me, honestly, it's been trial and error, right? Over the years, I've used lots of different stuff, and for me, when I see them at the grocery store or whatever, and then I'll try it, or my clients have tried it and recommended it, you know, like deodorant, for instance. Deodorant can be very embarrassing if it's got like a white residue, which a lot of them have. And so I will either get deodorant that is clear and comes out like a clear gel, or and it dries quickly, or it'll say invisible solid. So that, again, it comes out like, it looks white in the packaging, just like your regular deodorant. But when you actually spread it on your arm or your skin, it doesn't show any type of white residue at all. Because I recommend that to my low vision and blind clients, because you don't want to, you know, get a product that you might accidentally, you know, get it on your clothes, or especially if you are taking off your clothes or trying them on and you wear it multiple times, and then the deodorant creates these white stains on clothing, which can be a very embarrassing, you know? So,
okay. I have so many embarrassing stories of this that I have forever taken stock in clear deodorant, because I'll think it says invisible solid or whatever. So now I just go for men's clear deodorant. It's the best. Just for the record. And men's clear deodorant is fantastic. But yeah, I mean, there was many times when I started working at the university, and I thought I had clear deodorant because I thought it was, and it was in the same package, and I had this navy shirt on and like these like huge white streaks that on each side of my arm. And they're like, oh my gosh. So here I work with like a bunch of super sweet moms, so I was thankful. They came there with their paper towels and were like wiping me down in the middle of the kitchen in our workplace. I was like, oh my gosh, so embarrassing. So yeah, lesson learned.
Yeah.
That's key.
Yeah. And you know, I'm sighted, and it's happened to me because I just don't think about it. Or like when I'm like, you know, it's something I didn't think about too. It's like when I go shopping, and let's say I put deodorant on that day in the morning before I left the house, but then I go shopping and trying on different clothing at the mall. And here you are trying on all these different shirts, not realizing that every time you take off the shirt and put on another one, those first few shirts that got the worst of it have these, like now you've put like stains, white stains on their department store clothing. So it's going to be harder for them to resell that. Who's going to want to buy a shirt, even if it has a tag on it, but it has like these white stains on them? You know what I mean?
Oh, so, sure.
Yeah.
Gosh, time flies when you're having fun. I was just looking at the time really quick to open up for questions and realize it's already 5:43 on the West Coast. So I know we've been sort of, I was hoping I can. I know we covered a little bit here, a little bit there, but a lot of really good information. At this time, I'd love to be able to open it up to our entire LH1 family and see if they have any questions that they would like to ask you. And I'm hoping whoever's taking out the garbage.
I have a quick question. How do you keep your eyebrows on point?
Very good. So the question was, how do you keep your eyebrows on point? It depends. I answer that in different ways and are you asking from a no vision, low vision standpoint or just in general or?
I'd say low vision standpoint for all of us.
Yeah.
Okay. So there are several answers that I have to this. The easiest and the expensive one is to go get it done, right? You can go to a beauty salon or somewhere or a brow bar, and you can pay somebody, depending on where you are, anywhere from $5 to $15 or $20 to do your eyebrows every 2 to 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, before they lose their shape. So they're great at shaping them. Waxing is an option, and threading is an option. If somebody else is doing it for you. Now, if you're doing it for your, and that would be the professional expensive route, but if you're doing it for yourself at home, if you have low vision and you can still use like a lighted magnifier and you can still see any kind of, into the mirror at all with any magnifier, then I think you can still be able to, either number one, you can use a tweezer to kind of feel for those hairs, but stay away from the actual eyebrow, close to the eyebrow, but you can clean around it. Do you know what I mean? Like around the lid part and around it. Another thing is there are stencils, eyebrow stencils that they sell on Amazon, as well as beauty supply stores. They may even have it at Walmart. I'm not sure. I know for sure that I've seen it on Amazon. And so these eyebrow stencils come in lots of varieties of shapes and sizes because we all have different, like face shapes and how we like them drawn. And so, what I do with some of my clients is, they'll buy the kit or whatever from Amazon or wherever, and then I'll kind of like consult with them like which shape would be better for them, and we'll do that like let's just say on FaceTime, so I can get on a FaceTime call with my client and say, okay, well this is a good one or that's not a good one and why. And then what you do is you buy an eyebrow pencil, and that has like on one side an eyebrow pencil, the other side it can be like an eyebrow brush, okay, it's actually better if you buy them separately, not together and attached, because what I tell my clients to do is take the eyebrow brush, take the pencil, and like basically color the eyebrow brush with your pencil. Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Take the pencil and color the brush.
Yes.
With it. So then
color the bristles of the brush, right?
Color the bristles of the brush. So then you're not sitting here trying to pencil it all in with your this pencil, because it can be hard to see the lines and the details. But if you still have hair on your eyebrows, it's easier to fill in the color on the pencil brow brush, and then brush the color into your eyebrow. Does that make sense?
I guess I'll ask a similar question here. Would your advice be pretty similar for males? That if possible, go see an expert often, but if not, use some amount of magnification and or feeling to do that?
Yes, absolutely. For men, depending if they're wanting a more natural look, then don't get too, do too detailed or close to the actual eyebrow. leave it more full and leave it more natural looking. But if you're going for like a dramatic, very angled look, then that's when you're going to want to get more precision with like a professional who can go in and do the fine shaping and the detail work, and then kind of maintain it by using the technique that I said with the colored brow brush and then filling it in with the brush and things like that. Another thing is using the stencil, like I said. If you use a stencil, you can kind of feel, because the stencil is going to be, it's going to have an opening on the area of where the brows will be. And so you're going to place the stencil on close to your eyebrows so that you can feel the opening where the hair is going to kind of poke through. Does that make sense? And then
And I'm sorry, my question, and I realized where I was misunderstood. Now, I said nails instead of males. So for doing fingernails and toenails and things of that nature.
Oh, you said nails. I thought you said males, like for men.
Yep, and I completely understand. But no, while I do my eyebrows, I only take care of the ones on the middle. So no worries there.
you only do the unibrow. Yeah, okay. I was like, oh, yeah, well, there's definitely males that definitely want to do their eyebrows too. And, you know. So, for nails, what do you mean the same as in using stencils to paint your nails? Is that what you mean?
No. The advice being, if possible, going to get a manicure every 2 to 3 weeks or something like that. But if finances don't allow, using some magnification and or just touch to cut them as needed.
Okay, that's a good question. So with nails, there's several little tricks, right? What I suggest is number one is you can always go get a manicure and pedicure and have the professionals take care of it. It's relaxing, it's fun, it's great, but it's not always in the budget or within your time schedule to go. So there, you can definitely do it at home. And for low vision or no vision, what I suggest is instead of trimming your nails constantly, using a nail trimmer, because that can actually, if you're not using it at the proper angles, some of my clients can accidentally cut themselves too deep. But if you are going to use a nail clipper, always stabilize yourself with a table. Like put your hands flat down, spread your fingers open on a flat table, and then use your other hand and clip it, but put it like parallel, like line it up like totally parallel with your nails. Don't like angle the nail clipper like 90 degrees or, you know, anything, because the more you lift it up from horizontal, the more you're going to actually change the angle to cut into the nail bed instead of cutting straight and cutting the tip of the nail. So another thing is, instead of using nail clippers, I would also suggest using a buffer like we did in the training. So when I was over in Level Up, I was teaching the students how to use a four-sided buffer. And what that does is, or you can use a nail file, nice long wooden nail files, or if you prefer a reusable metal file, you know, filing your nails down consistently instead of trimming them, because number one, you're going to eliminate accidentally cutting them, and then you're also keeping it maintained regularly. So I suggest keeping like buffers and things like that either in your purse, by your nightstand, by your bed, somewhere where you kind of relax, watch TV, kind of chill, and it's a mindless thing that you can just kind of do in between watching TV or, you know, being on a conference call, right? You could be doing that while you're doing other things. But another thing about the four-sided buffer block is that there's four different, for any of you who do hobbies or sanding and any kind of like sand work, it's like four different grits on this buffer block. And you start with the heaviest grit all the way down to the buffer, which is like super fine and super smooth. And there's a technique that I teach where you start out with, you know, smoothing out the surface and then rotating it in a certain way to kind of keep on taking you finer and finer and finer and finer. When you get to the fourth side of that buffer, it's going to make your nails super smooth and super shiny, and you can actually feel how smooth it is. So you don't even have to use nail polish. For those ladies who like to go natural, or men especially, don't wear nail polish per se, but they like that nice, shine, healthy look and that feel, then you can, I would suggest trimming the edges down regularly with the heaviest grit so that it trims the nails shorter, and then using that four-sided buffer block to buff your nails to a high shine and not even have to deal with the messiness of clear nail polish or nail polish chipping, like clear nail polish chipping. So you can actually even buy those at the dollar store or online. It's not even expensive. So it's a wonderful technique that I share with a lot of people, and I hope that helps. So, you know, if that answers your question.
Yep. What other questions do we have from the folks?
I wanted to jump in and share something that I discovered last week, and this is super weird. Have you guys ever heard of a tinkle razor? The name's weird, I know. But what it is, and this is what made me think of eyebrows, Kim, is that, Kimberly, I don't know, now I'm just giving you new nicknames, it's awesome. It's like a kind of a wand, and it has like itty-bitty razors on it, so... I mean, for anybody that has maybe like some weird unwanted hairs on their face that kind of like pop up, instead of plucking, I use this like little razor, and it's literally like, it's thinner and smaller than a pencil and skinnier. And you can get, I just actually bought 12 of them for $7 on Amazon. So it arrives tomorrow. And you just kind of like give like a back, like a motion, like a brushing motion back and forth. And it gets all these like super weird hairs that you might have on your face. And they might be great for your mustache, but I was using it in between, so I also didn't get a unibrow. And I mean, obviously trying to be super careful so I don't take out like a good chunk of my eyebrow, but it's not enough of a razor to lose an entire eyebrow, because it's really small blades and it's pretty small. So I don't know, like, if, not to get like super personal, but like, yeah, I get some weird hairs on my face. And so I want to like kind of keep those in check, because my friends will be like, Jess, you have a long hair on your neck, and that's weird. And so just to kind of do this like twice a week, and it's a super small razor. They're called Tinkle razors. They're super cheap, and I guess it's the new rage. I was told about it by a 16-year-old girl on one of our family friends, and she wondered how I never heard of it. And so I've been trying it out. It's been really cool and easy. So that's my unibrow weird hair story. But anybody else? Any other good tips and tricks or questions to ask Chelsea? Maybe I should unmute my friends that I've muted. Hold on. Okay, perfect. I've unmuted everyone. So sorry, I forgot about the ones that we muted. But is anybody else having any other questions?
Jessica, hey, it's Maria. Can you hear me?
Hey, Maria.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I've been listening intently. Chelsea, I kind of feel like I know you through Stephanie McCoy. That's a whole other topic, yes. But a couple quick little things, and I think as far as brows and such, I know this is on the other side of it where you go to professional, but I get my eyebrows dyed and my lashes dyed. So that my eyelashes look dark. I used to get extensions. That gets expensive. So now my lashes look dark. So that it at least gives the, you know, facade that you might have some mascara on. And when you dye your brows, it dyes any of the lighter hairs, quote unquote. So it does look like your brows are a little fuller. Like you wake up like that, and it's wonderful. The other thing was,
wait,
it's you're going to love this.
Wow.
Oh, like tint. I'm sorry, tint.
Oh, okay.
Like color. Like, I'm sorry.
With color.
It's like you're, yeah, with color. You tint them with color. Sorry that I did use that. Dying does sound kind of weird. The other thing was, and it was the best tip I've ever gotten, Candace Hanny. I give this to her. I have a traveling, you know, kit, you know, for toiletries. And it's the kind that you hang up in a hotel room. Well, I hang it up in my bathroom on a towel rack. Every little compartment has all the little things I use almost on a daily basis. So yeah. It's just hanging there, back of the door, towel rack. I have my lotions, my toothpaste, my, you know, tweezers, my nail clippers. They all have their little pocket compartment, everything. And then when you're going somewhere, you just take it off, throw maybe a few more things in there that you maybe don't usually just have, fold it up, ready to go. Done. Boom.
Yeah. I love that.
So anyway, hot, good idea there.
Yeah, and actually, another thing to add to that, and thank you so much for sharing that. I love that, and I am a huge believer in organization when it comes to those compartments. Those who have, you know, still have low vision, so you can see large prints, or who read Braille, those compartments, you can also stick Braille or large print on the outside of those clear compartments as well, and then that kind of helps with labeling if you want to do it that way too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're right, it's a great travel mate and an everyday use kind of thing. And you can buy those on Amazon, you can buy them, you know, almost anywhere.
Yeah, every size, shape, and color. And it does save time if you're going away. It's already out, it's filled, it's current, and you just fold it up and put it in your suitcase. So that's what I love about it, because it does save time when you, you know, we're going to go pack, which does take twice, three times as long with vision loss,
yep.
I find, personally.
Yep.
You know all your stuff's in there. You know, maybe a quick
exactly.
check, but there's no getting out a separate thing and, all right, what's in here, what's not in here. So, anyway, it's a time saver, I think, and, you know, a sanity saver.
Yes, definitely. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, this is Candace. Thanks, Maria. Ha ha ha.
Shout out to Candace. I knew I always give you credit for that, no matter what.
I'm constantly knocking stuff over on my counter, so that's why I'm like, I have to have something that hangs up. So that's really helpful. But, so I was going to say, I just discovered, and this is like TMI, maybe secrets, but like Nair on my legs, because I could never get my knees to shave my knees well enough because I can't see them. And then again, at the show, I'm like, oh, that's embarrassing. So anyway, that was my newest, like, yay.
Yeah, for,
I love
so
it.
For those, for those on the call who don't know what Nair is, it is a cream dilapidatory. So it actually removes hair just through the chemical reaction that it has with your hair. And then you leave it on for what was it, 10?
Five to 10 minutes. I'm using Veet, but I've never heard of Veet before. But same thing as Nair, which I think Nair has been around forever.
Right. 5 to 10 minutes, and then you just rinse it off with warm water. And they have specific ones, though, that you can get for your legs, underarms, and then you and your arms and body versus your face. So if you're going to use it to, like, remove, like, your chick stash, or let's say you have a little bit of peach fuzz on your cheeks or middle of your eyebrow or something, that's another good one to use too. And just, you know, be mindful of where you apply it, because you don't want to put it anywhere near your eyebrows. But you could do, like, maybe like the unibrow or something. But you should also get it, like, specifically just for your face if you're going to use it on your face, because you need a gentler, more sensitive one for that versus your body and your underarms. And should I also say that you can also do it for your bikini area too?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, so then I have one other question. So I want to say, yeah, and be careful, like, don't accidentally scratch your eyebrow if, like, you got an itch or something on your hand. So that's hopefully without saying. So I've noticed, so you had mentioned that beeping curling iron. What is the brand of that? Only because I've got LHON and my daughter also, and I have, like, total vision loss, and then my daughter's got quite a bit of vision, but she's still learning. You know, she's learning the whole, you know, beauty routine, but what's the brand of the beeping curling iron? And how does that work? Does it beep when it gets close to your skin or?
Yeah. So Jessica and I, we did a tutorial on this, but it's really cool. If the brand is from Qi, that's the company that I teach and I educate for. And I've used other brands before, so don't get me wrong. It's just that this one in particular is a more advanced technology because it gives low consistent heat, gentle heat, without damaging the hair. And ergonomically, the shape and way to hold it is also a lot better. So it's Qi, it's C-H-I, okay? And then it's called the Qi Lava Spin and Curl. So what it is it's been used, it's infused ceramic technology along with lava rocks, like pulverized lava rocks, in order to make the rod inside. And it's shaped like a tulip. So imagine the handle is like the bottom of a flower stem, okay? And then as you move up to the top of the tool, it looks like a tulip, right? A flower. And then on the in, it has a groove on the outside, on one side of the opening, which is where you can feel the groove. And there's the barrel. Your traditional curling iron doesn't have any protective cover on the outside, right? It's just fully exposed. So here, the rod, which curls the hair, is on the inside of this, per se, looking tulip. And there's buttons. There's just a few buttons, like power buttons and, adjusting buttons to adjust the heat settings, like increase or decrease the settings. And then there's two buttons closer to the opening of the tulip where you can either rotate it one direction or rotate it the opposite direction. And depending on what side of the head you're on, that's either going to be left or right, towards the face or away from the face, okay? So in that tutorial video Jessica and I did together, we kind of go into a lot more description about it so that we orientate you on the actual tool itself. But what you do is you take like a square inch section of hair, or like a half inch section of the hair, and you actually feed that into the groove of the tulip as you kind of put it up against your head, and then the opening of that, of the spin and curl, is facing outward so that you can feed the hair into it. And when you feed it into that groove, it automatically spins the curling iron on the inside, and that automatically pulls the hair into it, and then it'll curl the hair for you consistently every single time. But you just decide, do you want it spinning towards your face, curling towards your face, or do you want it to curl away from your face? And
there's no hot part that you would be able to touch.
Say it again.
So there's no, like, you wouldn't be able, you would not burn your hand if you went to go touch it.
No, you wouldn't. Only if you actually stick your finger into the groove,
right?
Which nobody's going to do. Okay.
And you said it's beeping.
It beeps when the hair is totally curled inside of the barrel, then it starts the timer. And it can set the timer for 15 seconds, 17 seconds, or 19 seconds, and that goes for a fine, medium, or coarse hair accordingly. And it'll beep after that set of time, and it'll let you know it's safe and it's ready to go ahead and take it out. So when you remove it, what you do is you just pull it straight down and pull it straight out. And there were a couple occasions because for those of you who know, Jessica, she has longer hair. And so there were a few times when she was learning the process where she kind of accidentally got too much hair. And all it does is it twines it into there, but then it stops. If it feels like there's too much hair and it jams it, then it stops. It doesn't curl anymore. And then it does this like consecutive beep, 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 kind of like, okay, you got to, let's go ahead and redo that. Take it out and redo it. So that's the great beauty of it, because a lot of people are like, oh, well, I'm scared. What if it eats up my hair? What if it swallows and tangles my hair and won't release it? Jessica, at any moment, did you feel like that happened for you?
No, I mean, when I would give too much hair and it would get, like, it would start beeping at me, I just pulled down, and then, like, nothing got caught. I never had to, like, feel like I needed to unplug and I was going to, like, lose a chunk of my hair. It was cool, and I actually did it on my kitchen table, Candace, and I would put it, I put the hot tool back down on my kitchen table and, like, grab another piece of hair, and, or I put it, like, on my lap. Like, it was never hot enough that, like, I thought I was going to burn some sort of
cool,
kitchen table or something.
I know, so cool. I know chi gets hot, and I use some of chi stuff, but cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is like such a wonder. It's like a wonderful, wonderful tool that really was made, you know, just because it was a safer alternative to curling hair. But I found that as I was doing my research and looking for stuff, that it's totally accessible. And it wasn't meant for that per se. They didn't know that they were creating it to be that way, but it is. And so that's why I share it with a lot of my, you know, blind or visually impaired friends and clients. Is, you know, it's so super safe to use. And actually, when I was at an event, I taught like a 9-year-old little boy how to do that for his sister who had like super long hair. And I taught him within a few minutes. So if a 9-year-old little boy can use this tool and, you know, not burn himself and, you know, be safe with it, you know, I think, you know, almost anybody can use it. And it's just that easy. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want, I can.
That's new technology.
Yeah. I can share the link with Jessica to share with you all. So if you want to purchase it, you can. You know, of course, I would love for you to buy it from me, but, you know, I can sell it to you and ship it to you for free. Just let me know. I still have some on stock that I can send out right away. But you can also buy it online. On Ulta and things like that, it just, you know, it's always good to support small business. I'm just saying.
So. Yeah, that's awesome. We can definitely, Chelsea, we have some magic angels that are on this call sometimes. And so if any cool stuff that we might be saying, Lissa might be posting different links and different things like that. So if you do want to share your link, we can add that too. So whenever we post on a Facebook page, Lissa will then kind of post any products or tips and tricks that she finds or websites, so everyone can find it easier after the call and help
okay.
keep track. And so we'll make sure we add your link on there as well. But I do want to wrap this up. Unfortunately, we are over on time.
A
wealth of knowledge to be able to hear all this information, and definitely I hope everyone was able to get some tips and tricks and kind of get that back. And I learned that dry shampoo doesn't have a color, so that's fantastic. But I, at this point, I will just.
Hey, Jessica.
Recording. Yes.
Jessica, real quick.
Yes.
My name's Sarah. I'm in Omaha.
Yes.
I've been a hairstylist for 11 years. And I went blind about a year and a half ago. So I also could help with the beauty department if anyone wanted to ask questions about it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Sarah, have you joined our call before? This is great.
Yeah, this is my, I think we've actually messaged each other before. This is probably my fourth or something call that I've done with you guys.
Oh, awesome.
But I know
I'm glad you chirped in.
Yeah, I know you've gone over it with time, but if anyone wanted to, like, message me about some hair tricks and tips, I'd be happy to give my input.
Yeah, I will happily go tag you in the post, and so we can all cool. find you, just in case.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Thanks, Sarah.
Jessica.
Yeah, no
worries. Are you still doing hair?
I slowly am getting back into it, yeah.
That is so cool. That's awesome.
So there's a lot of, like, the way I have tips and tricks is just me learning how to do it again and just by feel and, yeah.
That's what it's all about, which is awesome. That's cool.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyone else? Yeah. I don't want to.
And thanks for everything. That's all.
Jessica.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
It's Lisa. First of all, Chelsea, amazing what you're doing for everybody. But can you say the name of your company that I don't know if you actually mentioned it? And also, do you ship to Canada?
Shipping to Canada.
There we go.
Yeah, let me find out. I've never had that request before, but I can definitely find out. I can go to the post office and find out. And then if you can share your information with me and Jessica after the call, I can follow up with you. How about that? And as for my company, it's called C Envision, like C as in cat, which is the letter of my first name, Chelsea, and then N as in Nancy. And then Vision, V-I-S-I-O-N, Image Consulting. So it's the Envision Image Consulting. But you can also find me on my website at cnvisionimage.com. So thank you for that question. I always get so excited to share the information. I always forget to tell people where to find me and where's my website.
Well, we know Lisa will be posting it. But I am very interested in those combs, those color combs that you were talking about.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
I think that's kind of neat.
Yeah.
But thank you again for sharing all of your knowledge and expertise. And I think what you're doing is absolutely amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I'm glad to help. So.
Chelsea, this is Lisa. I do have a question for you. One is, yes, as this call has been going on, I have been doing like Jessica said, and I've been looking for the apps and the products and grabbing a link and throwing it up into our Facebook group under the LHON live call image so that people can find it. But I'll go ahead and add your link, of course, so that if people would prefer to and can purchase from you, that's awesome. One question I had, I know you mentioned that you do like Facebook consulting from afar. Does Department of Rehab ever pay for your services if an individual is striving to get employment or maintain employment and sort of needs image consulting to move forward? Does DOR ever pay for that, or is that always like a personal pay kind of situation?
No, actually, it all started because of vocational rehab here in Texas, in Houston. They found out about me, and they're like, oh my gosh, this is a valuable service, and can we hire you to be one of our contractors to do this? And so it started like 8 years ago when I started doing trainings with the state. And I am fully contracted in the state of Texas, but I would love to get contracted in other states as well. If you all know of, rehab services in your state that you can connect me with and you can recommend me to, you know, how to sign up or how to, you know, fill out the documentation. I've got like 8 years of experience under my belt with working with blind and disabled individuals across the country. So I would love to be able to provide that. And all of my trainings are paid for by the state in Texas. If you are a qualified consumer with Texas, and if you're, whether you're trying to get a job, trying to, you know, keep your job and still look your best while you're on the job, that's what we do. And if you are 14 through, 14 to 22 years old, and you're blind or visually impaired, and you're what they call a transition age, getting ready to go into the workforce, they can also hire me to help and train the younger youth group. Here in Houston and Texas, my services are paid for also through the Health and Human Services. So that's going to be for your blind children and your ages like 13 years old and younger, from like birth till 13. So I teach this to like all age groups. It just depends on what agency that you're going to get that through. But right now it's just Texas, but I would love to, do more of that through other rehab agencies if you want to connect me with them, you know? So
Super. Thank you. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So hope that answers that. And then for those who want to hire me individually or out of pocket, you know, I do FaceTime consulting. So whether you're in Canada, Africa, France, London, Paris, wherever, as long as you have a strong and stable online internet connection, we can turn on our FaceTime and I can do one-on-one trainings with you over the internet. And it'll just be, you know, however much time that you feel like you need for a single lesson or multiple lessons, and we can kind of go through it that way. So, yeah, I find that's great, even for people who live in Houston with me, because transportation sometimes can be a challenge. So, yeah. So I hope I answered that question.
For sure. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Anybody else?
One more thing. Lissa. Lissa, are you there?
Yep. Yeah, I am here.
I just have so much respect for you because you've taken on this, I don't know, project for your son being diagnosed. Me and my mom both talk about you all the time, how strong you are. I just thank you for that.
I'm embarrassed, but thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Are you blushing? Don't blush. You deserve it.
I think we all feel the same about Lissa.
Agreed.
Hope she knows that.
She's a powerhouse. Like, how the... talking to people all over the world all the time. It's insane.
Now she's definitely blushing.
Definitely. Come on, Jessica. Moving on. Thank you.
So this is the very first time I've ever been able to recite when our LH1 conference is, because it's in Phoenix, Arizona, and I hope you all come. It is June 26th and June 27th, which is a Friday, Saturday. This is the first time in six years, how long has this call been going on, that I can recite that date. Someone should write that down. But so mark that on your calendar, save your date, and start saving your pennies and bringing lots of water with you to come to sunny Arizona and hang out with me and all of your favorite LH1 friends. So save the date for that. Lots of cool planning that's happening coming out with that, and I'm so excited to be part of it. But Chelsea, thank you so much for being on. Now, Chelsea, what we do is we actually hang on, so I will stop the recording on the call if you would like to hang on. If there's anybody on the call that would like to say hey or maybe ask a question offline. So I will stop the recording, but just wanted to thank everyone for being here this month. And Chelsea, a huge thank you for you being our guest speaker. We loved having you and being a great resource for us. And it's fantastic that you have a tag team sister in this group, Sarah, that you guys could tag team. So this is fantastic. So, 2 seconds.
Jessica. Well, I just wanted to, I definitely want to thank you for inviting me on the call, Jessica, and thank you everybody else for giving me the time to speak and for all your questions. So, it was so much fun to be here and to get to talk to you all. And thank you. And just know that I would love to be a resource in any kind of way in the future if you all need anything. So, thank you.
That's awesome. Thank you, Chelsea. Jessica, you can stop the recording, but I did want to go ahead and be giving a plug to next month.
Yeah.
I know we have a few new folks tonight. Just so you all know, we do this call once a month. That's always the first Wednesday of every month at the exact same time, exact same phone number. So it will be 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific always, first Wednesday of every month, which next month is August 2nd. October 2nd. Apologies. We're going forward in time. Okay.
Fantastic. Thank you, Andy. All right, I'll stop the recording quick.